How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be discussing quite a bit of stuff. So just stay tuned, and I'm sure at least one of these things will catch your attention. So the flock cameras are still a conversation being had as far as the city council goes. On Monday, there's going to be a committee for the flock cameras. I don't know who's all going to be on it. I would assume the police chief. I would assume the sheriff. Maybe the mayor. I know the flock camera guy, representative, is supposed to be on it. Maybe the law director. I'm not really sure, but I think that this has the opportunity to be the most informative meeting for the flock cameras that we've had. I just think that the questions need to be asked. I think it'd be very unfortunate and a wasted opportunity to get up and just kind of bash the flock cameras. If there are questions you have about the flock cameras, I would ask. Now's a good time to ask. I mean, I don't know. If you believe that the flock camera guy and the police chief and the sheriff and, you know, so on and so forth are all just going to lie to you, then, I mean, I don't know what the point in showing up is anyways, because obviously they're just going to do what they want. So I don't know. But I think the only problem I've had with the flock camera conversation being in city council is the amount of times you hear the same arguments. Like it was like an hour and a half. I don't know if it was actually. It felt like an hour and a half at the very least. We had, it felt like a dozen people get up, and they all said the same exact things. And I don't know. It just didn't seem like it was all that great of input. But I guess I'm only one person. There's that. The city is in fiscal emergency. Not a whole lot has happened. There has been one gentleman assigned. I cannot think of his name. Probably should have wrote that down, now that I think about it. But there has been one gentleman assigned, appointed by the mayor. To my understanding, he is a former police officer and owns some kind of business. I don't recall what it is exactly. But, so he's on the fiscal board as of currently, and I do believe that Joanne Casota still needs to appoint one, as well as the governor. So there's that. I think that, you know, the longer this goes on, the more we're going to get out of it. I think it'll go on for, you know, hopefully only like 2-3 years. That's what we're hoping for. But we will see. Recently, last week I talked about this, the Ohio FOP is endorsing the entire, Republican ticket, with Ohio President, Ohio FOP President Jay McDonald, Marion's very own Jay McDonald, said, "Our people see what they believe to be attacks on law enforcement, and those attacks often come from the Democrat Party." So, you know, there's that, I guess. I don't know. I guess it doesn't necessarily surprise me. I mean, I guess the conservatives, the Republican Party, has been, perceived as the party of law and order for at least during my lifetime. But apparently the Ohio FOP's been different, because they, I think it was 2018, they endorsed all but one Democrat. In 22, maybe 20, I don't remember the exact years. I did this story last week, like I said. That there was, you know, one, I think they endorsed all but one Republican, if I recall correctly, and this year it's all Republicans. The Ohio FOP has been fairly balanced, and I can get behind that. So, at the very least, the FOP supports, the entire Republican ticket. There is a company that I guess has been doing polls in Ohio, Better Choices Ohio, chaired by Republican former Representative Gene Krebs of rural Southwest Ohio and Democratic former Representative Sean Logan of the Mahoning Valley And they conducted a study of 1,284 registered voters in June. And the survey found that over 82% think that special interests have too much control over politics. Almost 72% don't think that their member of Congress represents them. 69.9%, so basically 70%, feel there's a lack of meaningful choice on the ballot. Of the 1,284 people that they surveyed, I guess, there was under the age of 35 and under were 92% of. Sorry, I misread this. Okay. So, 82% of the 1,284 were unaffiliated or independent voters, and of those 82%, 92% were 35 and under. So, a lot of young people, it seems, are unaffiliated or independent voters. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, I think that, I think that it's pretty common knowledge, or at least common sentiment, not knowledge necessarily, that special interest, that people think the special interests have too much control over politics. People have been saying that the government doesn't do anything for a long time, so I would assume that would block in with the Congress does not represent them. There has been only two parties on the ballot for a long time, and I guess they feel that the difference isn't all that great. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you go about fixing this, I suppose, but, I mean, you could. At least in theory. So, you know, there is that. I think that getting young people to vote would be a good step at doing well for the country. I know a lot of people in my age range who are discontented with politics, and they do not vote as they say, quote, nothing changes. But you know, I think that they're probably just, you know, crazy. I've seen a lot change in the last year and a half, and boy howdy have I been following it. It's rough. I mean, like I said, you know. Polio's on the rise. We almost had polio eradicated. We have finally surpassed, record-breaking cases of the measles in, you know, years. I don't remember how many years exactly, but a long time. Like, it's just been, not great. But I don't know. I mean, I guess you get what you vote for. So there's that. But I think that most dangerous thing. Science needs to be protected somehow. I think that the Trump administration has done a good job of damaging the institution of science. They have proposed, I don't know if the rule changes have gone through, but they have proposed, I think 100 rule changes to science, which would, basically give the administration a lot more control over what does and does not get, researched, as it would allow, presidential appointees control over, grants and whatnot for research. So it would seem to me that the research that's going to be done is going to be, state-funded whack job science, like, vaccines being bad, something like that. I don't know. But it's certainly not. Oh, I do know that one of the big rule changes is that we will no longer be working with foreign countries for science. Because I don't know why. I guess American science is the best science. Like, I don't know. Science is science. There is no such thing as big science. Science in America is going to look just like science in France. I mean, facts are facts. I don't really know what else you want about that. You know, I don't know what to say. I mean, you know, the water cycle is the same all over the world. So, I don't know. I don't get that. The only thing it does is like there are things in other countries that we may or may I don't think we're going to be able to use now. Like the Large Hadron Collider, I do believe is in Switzerland, if I have it correct. I don't think we're going to be able to use that now because we can't collaborate with foreign scientists. The International Space Station, I guess we own that, I would assume, I do believe at least. So I don't know if we're going to be allowed to use that or if we're going to ban other people from using that because we work with, Russia, China, India, so on and so forth up in the International Space Station. So, you know, you could do that. They got rid of peer-reviewed science, well, again, I don't think it's passed yet, but they might do away with peer-reviewed science, and, you know, a peer review is literally what makes science like the gold standard. I don't like to say gold standard because I don't really know what gold standard science would be, I guess. But in order, generally, for your science to be considered good, it has to pass a peer review process. And the peer review process would no longer be required. Terrible. Like, I don't, there's just like a lot of rule changes that were made are... just very negative for science, and I think that it's gonna be to the detriment of the country if it goes through. I think American science is probably gonna be on the like very back burner of the world, with the exception of like, you know, the small like third and second world countries. For the sheer fact that they don't have the resources, manpower, you know, supplies, that kind of thing, to do the science and experiments that we would have done. Or at least to the scale we would have done them. Ramaswamy has spent upwards of $9 million. I know that was a rough jump there, but as far as in the state goes... Ramaswamy has spent upwards of $9 million on ads, on like, you know, TV ads, and Amy Acton has spent only $100,000. She's raised something probably like $19 million at this point. The number I have is 18.4, but that was from like 2 weeks ago. Well, like probably like last month actually. I think it came out on like the 4th or the 5th, the press release. So she's probably raised close to $19 million now, and she spent just about none of it. And the ads she does have, I watched a couple today. One, she's like leaving a tent, and she's talking about how she was homeless and put herself through school and all that good stuff. I think that's a terrible ad. Talk about your policy. Talk about what you're planning to do. You're going to be, well, in theory, you're going to be governor if you win. Same thing with Vivek. Vivek is going to be governor if he wins. He should do the same thing, preferably. And actually give some informational ads, but it seems that's not going to happen. The ads that she does have, like I said, do not discredit any attack ads that Vivek has put out, doesn't mention any of the things that are mentioned in the ads that Vivek puts out. Like I said, I just don't think there's a lot of substance there. But... I guess to each their own. I guess we'll see how effective it was when it's when the election's all said and done. You know, we've already been gone on for 15 minutes, and I haven't even given the phone number yet. So that's always good, I suppose. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Matt, I was watching a thing on YouTube today, or today I was watching it, where Ramaswamy was booed really bad, and he cut his speech short, and they booed him clear off while he was walking out the stage. So...
Well, where was that
that's
at?
That's a good sign that, you know, that might be good for Amy Acton.
Where was that at?
I forget. It was someplace here in Ohio, and I can't remember exactly what he was talking about when he was getting booed.
This is according to the Cincinnati Inquirer. So, but it says it was at Xavier, like Xavier University.
Yeah, I don't know much about it. I just briefly watched a little bit of it today. I didn't even watch the whole thing, but I was glad to see that because, you know, I don't want him to get in there.
Well, I mean...
Oh, one thing I know what it was. He was talking about was those, AI centers, those big things. You know, people don't want them in Ohio. And he was talking, you know, good about them. And that's one thing that they started booing him real bad on. People don't want that. I mean, they take up all the water in a certain place, and electricity bills go up on account of those things. I mean, they can build those in Indiana or something. We don't need them.
Well, I think no matter where you build them, I mean, the water demand's going to be the same. I think the better argument would be something like I said, I don't really see how you if I was a big tech company and I bought land to build a data center, I would be rather upset if you told me I couldn't build a data center there. I bought the land. The land is mine. You're going to tell me what I can't do on, or can and can't do on land that I purchased, land that I own?
Land, you know, you don't have the right to do anything you want on any land. Just look at that solar thing out there in Pleasant School District that they was wanting to put in. They got a lot of pushback on that, and they didn't go through with it.
Even then, I think they didn't go through with it because of the pushback. I really think that if they, the company backed out. I don't think they were told they couldn't. The company decided they didn't want to.
But I don't think the company just wanted to keep fighting it in court and paying legal fees and stuff like that. I think they would... wanted to go someplace where it was more friendly to them.
I just think it would make a whole lot more sense if it was something more like taxes are like on a stepped like gradient kind of a thing. Like the more you make, the more you pay, and percentage wise.
Supposedly, but that don't always happen.
Yeah, but I think it should just be the same thing with the water. I mean, if the tech companies need all this water, then I say we just say, oh, well, you're using this much water. You're in like the fourth tier of water usage. You got to pay, you know, a higher rate than people who are in the bottom three.
Well, that's true. But a lot of industry, you know, they do use a lot of water. You know, different industries. But, you know, I agree with that. I mean, I think we ought to have a consumption tax. I mean, if you're buying a $2 million home, you should pay a nice consumption tax on that. If you're paying $2,000, $3,000 a month to heat it, you should pay a consumption tax on that. And somebody's only paying $300 to heat their house, well, they're... might pay a little consumption tax too, but minor.
I think we're overtaxed personally. Now I get it, the government needs money to operate and all that good stuff, but if you really think about it, it just sounds kind of convoluted. So I go to work, I get a paycheck, I pay income taxes. Every time I buy something, I get sales tax. If I buy property, I have to pay property tax. I have to pay sales tax on the property, and then I have to pay, like, land and property taxes on the property that I own that I paid for, and then now it's been taxed three times.
I don't think you pay sales tax on property.
There's no sales tax on property.
Taxes, but when you buy a piece of property, you ain't paying no state sales tax on it. You know, it's not like you went out and bought a phone and you have to pay sales tax on your phone. And, you know, cars, you pay sales tax when you buy the car. But down the road, there's not taxes on that car. You know, you don't pay sales tax every year just because you got the car.
There's not a sales tax, but there's a transfer tax because the state of Ohio is going to charge you extra dollars just because you're going to transfer the title.
but
and there's also a capital gains tax for the person making money, I guess. But yeah, so you're right. No sales tax.
He thinks people should, richer people should pay their fair share. He says that he pays a lower tax rate.
Who's he? Sorry.
Than what his secretary pays.
Who is that?
Warren Buffett. I heard him talk one time. This hasn't been, here recently. But, he was talking about how his tax rate is less than his secretary at work's line.
Well, yeah, I know a lot of people there are ways to, pay less in taxes. Like, one of the people who I used to work with who retired, he comes in a lot, and he's, he's always telling me that I should get some kind of account, because if I put, X number of dollars in there, it lowers my tax, I don't know. But, there are people who play the game as it goes, but, I just think it shouldn't be that complicated. I don't think there should be a game I have to play with the tax book. If I could just do that, with my tax book, why can't I just do that without it? Why do I need, I don't know. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. Why is it so complicated to save money on taxes? You know why rich people save a whole bunch of money on taxes? Because they hire, a team of accountants.
Start an IRA, people don't have that money. One of those, there's different ones. Accounts, you don't pay taxes on it now. You are going to pay taxes on it down the road when you withdraw the money.
And now, I don't know, by the way, I don't know if this is legal, and to my knowledge, they never actually did it, but I know somebody who thought about opening, an LLC just so they could, because they were going to, the game plan was going to be, now again, I don't know if this would even work, I'm no tax lawyer, it sounds not legal to me, but they were going to, open an LLC, and then, basically just, put their, claim their tax as, or their car as, a business expense, basically just a whole bunch of, claim all their things as, business expenses, and then just get tax deductions for it.
Well, I don't know, that might be possible, but
it sounds illegal to me. I'm no tax agent or anything, but that sounds like a crime. It sounds like you're covering up assets.
Yeah, but when you do that and you give them an LLC, if somebody sues you, you don't lose your home. You get to keep certain.
That
you own, but
they can only charge you for what the corporation owns.
Something like that. They could actually take your home.
Well, like I said, I don't know. I don't even know what the business he was going to run was. He sells, jewelry, I guess. But I don't know anybody that ever actually bought any jewelry off of him. He tries to sell it more. But, I don't know. It just, it didn't sound legal to me, but I just think that, the loops you have to jump through to get tax deductions and things are mind-boggling in my mind. And also a little bit of a tangent here, but it's if you ever gone through McDonald's or Taco Bell or any of the restaurants, they have they'll ask if you want to round up for a charity. It's just, one big tax write-off loophole. Because they just, so you round up, that money goes into a pot for charity. They take the charity money at the end of, I'd assume, the fiscal year. I don't really know how they divvy it out. But then at the end of the fiscal year, they take all the money they spent on charity that you gave them to spend on charity, and then they use it as a fat tax deduction because it's charitable donations.
Kroger's, they do that a lot, rounding up for different causes.
Yeah, and it's the same thing for Kroger. I can guarantee you Kroger uses that for a fat tax write-off.
Well, the people sometimes that donate, they can receive a good. Well, I think sometimes Kroger's matches your roundup or something like that. I don't know.
No, I think it should be mandatory that if they're going to have a roundup thing, because I don't know, it just seems a bit scammy in my opinion that you're going to get a tax write-off with, if I round up 5 cents, that's 5 less cents you have to pay in taxes. What kind of sense does that make?
Yeah, I don't like that roundup stuff because, you might be having financial problems and you don't want to round up. people behind you and the cashier and the people around you, you know, well, God, he can't even round up and give that 75 cents or whatever.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I used to be a cashier. I mean, I was told no so many times. Because, like, I used to just run a script. Like, cashiering is the easiest job you could have. I used to just run a script. I'd say the same thing to every customer. And, like, you know, I don't know. But, like, I mean, you get turned, like, every time I give you the total and I'd ask if you want to round it up for the local food pantry is where Kroger's money goes. And you know, like 90% of people will say no thanks.
And you know, say no?
Yeah, I mean, I always just say, would you like to round up for the local food pantry? And they'll always just say no.
Well, I can believe it. But people've asked for so much money all the time that, you know, that you can't donate and stuff to everything. And the people that have the means to donate to things like that don't donate, really. You know, it's a shame, but the people that... I don't think there's anything wrong when you make so much money, the more you make, the higher the tax bracket you're in. You're going to pay more percentage. Because that's the, well, that's, Trump gave a lot of tax breaks and stuff to his,
what do you think about
top 1%.
What do you think about doing away with income tax and raising the sales tax?
Oh, I'm not for that. They want to do that here in Ohio.
Yeah.
And you're going to get taxed one way or another.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do away with a tax and then, you know, because you're going to have to raise another tax to, I think the tax should be where the person making more money starts to have to pay more tax.
You ever heard of a Georgia's tax?
No.
It's essentially like a tax on just any, usually people refer to it as like a, one second, I gotta make sure I get this right, because otherwise it's gonna bother me, but it's usually like economic ideology centered on the single tax on land value. Basically just that people who own more land should pay more in taxes, because land is like the only, I don't know, basically they've boiled it down to like, it's just another, it's just another resource. I mean, when you buy land, it's less land that other people can have. You have essentially consumed the land.
Yeah, but the only bad thing about that is, it would, if you were buying the land and you're building buildings and factories and stuff on it, I can see it.
Well, that's
but
actually
the... you're a farmer and you own a lot of land, you know, farmers get a, can get a tax break because a lot of their land is not along a street.
Well, like,
and those that land is worth more. They can't pay a big tax on 500 acres that they own.
Well,
it'll put them out of business.
You can always like. Like, I'd be a fan of not necessarily implementing it as a single tax. I think that's, you know, you're not going to make enough money. But I think that implementing Georgia's tax... Like, I would be a proponent... Because farms produce economic goods in and of themselves. I mean, they're farms. They produce things and they sell things. But Georgia's tax, it goes after, like, speculative land. So, like, you know how people just own, like, large portions of land that they never do anything with? Like, they just let the land sit there and they never, like, build anything on it or develop it?
Well, they have a ranch and...
Yeah. Well, not even. Like, it's like people just own, like, empty land. But, like, essentially, the Georgia's tax, it's to incentivize you to develop your land, to make it profitable, or to sell it. Because, you know, I mean, essentially, they don't want people owning a whole bunch of land. So, like, I would, if I were to put the Georgia's tax in, I would put in a little, like, rider that would, like, essentially, like, exempt farmers. Well, I'd probably specifically go for, like family-owned farms, because, like, you know, there's corporate farms that are just massive. I'd go after corporate farms. I would not, I'd exempt family farms.
What's happening now. A lot of farmers are losing their farms, and corporate, you know, entities are buying that farmland up.
But the biggest thing, yeah, I mean, that tends to be the problem. But the biggest thing that I think it would do beneficially is like, you know, there are a lot of people who own lots of houses, and they, you know, rent out those houses. I mean, like BlackRock owns a whole bunch of houses under, like, subsidiaries and things. Like,
well, Naomi, you know, here in town, she owns several houses. I mean, rent, and that's a...
Yes, and as a matter of fact, I even had this conversation with Naomi one day over the air. If I had it my way, Naomi would be paying considerably more tax. Well, not, I don't know about considerably more, but she would be paying more taxes than everybody else, because every house she owns over one house is a house just somebody else can't live in, somebody else can't own. So I would just tax her more to encourage her to sell the houses.
Well, I think somebody little like that. Now, Naomi ain't making... But the way you make money in real estate like that and renting the houses out, most people have a mortgage on those properties, too.
Well, I'm not saying she's
and
like...
how you make your money is when those properties get paid off.
I'm not saying she's, like, rolling in, like, millions of dollars or something. But, like, it's more, like, I'll even give you a second house. Why not? I won't tax you anything more for your second house. Why, people have vacation homes. There are snowbirds who like to go to Florida.
Well, that's a whole lot, like, different,
you know,
than Naomi having her.
I'll give you a second house. But after the second house, I think we should probably start taxing people more. And I think that, like, companies that own, like, large, like thousands of houses, like, you know, big housing corporate real estate conglomerates, I think they should be charged, like, extortionately. Like, like I said, I mean, if they're paying an arm and a leg in taxes, I mean, it might just be cheaper to cut your losses and sell the house.
But you know what they would rather pay? They'd rather pay an arm and a leg for attorneys to get them out of as much tax that they can, and they don't care if they pay just as much for the attorneys as they would the taxes. It's a principal thing for them. You know?
I don't know.
That's how Trump's made a lot of his money, is if he don't pay somebody or something like that, he takes them to court.
So,
and if you're a contractor and you're not extremely wealthy, it comes to a point where you can't afford to keep fighting it in court, and you'll leave it go, or you'll settle for, you know, a third of what you should be getting paid or something like that. And that's how he beat so many people out of money. You see how he goes after, you know, anybody that he don't like. He's constantly going after, you know, political enemies, comedians, you know. That's not the American way. I don't know why more people ain't up in arms about that, you know, about the, you know, him doing that.
Well, I think that, you know, Trump still does have his people, and I do think that, I don't know how large of a percentage it would be, but I think that there are at least, you know, a few Trump supporters who aren't actually Trump supporters anymore, but they feel like they've kind of dug themselves into a hole at this point because they've defended Trump so adamantly.
Oh, yeah, he's losing lots. And his biggest base, especially anymore, is the uneducated.
Well, I don't know that I go that far.
Watch news very often, and when they do watch news, they watch Fox News. And, you know, most educated people, you know, Trump even said one time, you know, he likes the uneducated people because that's who supports him. Well, I'll let you go on and listen to you.
All righty.
Okay, later.
Later. Alrighty, well, one second here. Sorry, I forgot where we were at. We were talking about the, started with the Ramaswamy ads, yep. The House, the U.S. House of Representatives, I guess we could do this one, but it's, not the one I thought it was. The House passes their second War Powers Resolution, so, the deadline for the first one was May 1st, and, you know, the deadline has obviously passed, as it's, you know, now, almost August. In a letter to Congress on May 1st, the deadline, Trump wrote, I couldn't find the full letter, otherwise I was planning on reading the full letter, but, he wrote, I have and will continue to direct the United States Armed Forces consistent with my responsibilities and pursuant to my constitutional authority to conduct United States foreign relations and as Commander-in-Chief and Chief Executive. So he basically told Congress to kick bricks and that he didn't need their permission because he's the president. I don't know. He also did use some logic, though, that basically, because, you know, I don't remember exactly how he had phrased it, but essentially, because there was a ceasefire, hostilities had ended for the, 2 weeks or whatever the ceasefire was, a week or two. And so that, put a pause on, the deadline, and the deadline wasn't actually May 1st. But, load of baloney. His fault, I don't know what else to say. The war wasn't over, so the timer's still going on. But, nonetheless, the War Powers Act has been passed a second time via the House. The Senate has passed one. By the way, the letter not only went to the House of Representatives, he also sent a copy to the Senate and somebody else, I do believe. Nonetheless, so he basically just told the Senate and the House to kick bricks. He didn't need the permission to bomb Iran because he was the president. There it goes, I guess. But, I don't really know what to do about that. I mean, the man's just not listening to Congress. I don't know. I don't know. Somebody's gonna have to do something at some point, but, he owns the Attorney General. And, he's got, the large majority of the Supreme Court right now. There you go. But, with that being said, the Senate failed to pass, they have tried to pass a second War Powers Act. The first time they tried to pass it a second time, it failed. The second time that they tried to pass it, it failed again. I don't remember what the vote was the first time, otherwise I would have given it to you. But the vote on the second one was 50 to 49. So the vote failed, but only by two. So there are some people, obviously, who were not in attendance because, 50 plus 49 does not equal, 100. So there's that. But J.D. Vance also has a vote if it ends up 50-50. Keep that in mind. And if it ends up 50-50, then it J.D. Vance is obviously gonna tell Congress to shove it. So there's that. I mean, the Senate has tried to pass one. I don't know what their problem is now. They passed one prior. Maybe they just passed one because they were already in the middle of negotiating a memorandum of understanding. But, and now that, obviously Trump has no intentions of ending the war, I guess they're struggling to do it again. But in other news, allegedly, according to the Trump administration, Gaza has agreed to, disarm, so that's, I guess, a step in the direction of, ending the conflict between Israel and Gaza. And I think if you end that, there's a good chance the rest of it ends as well. Sorry, I said I have a, you know, I've had a cough since the wildfires. Since that day, it was really foggy. Really smoky, I guess. It wasn't fog. And I don't know what that is, but the cough has persisted. Now, it's gotten a lot better. But, the cough has persisted. And it's been, you know, like 2 weeks now. So I don't know what's up with that. But, hopefully it gets better, soon. Anyways. Yeah. I mean, I said I was going to talk about this one, so for the sake of not lying, I'll bring this up with the last 4 minutes we got here. By the way, if you have anything you'd like to add, do feel free to call in. Probably going to be the last chance. 740-383-9944. That is 740-383-9944. All right. So, Trump has blamed Minnesota Governor Tim Walz for the cyber attacks. Now, I'll be 100 with you. I did not know there were cyber attacks. I don't know what was attacked, but I highly doubt Tim Walz had anything to do with it. I'm pretty sure Trump. I'm like, you know, 99.9 to like the negative 100,000th. Like, I don't know. Like, I have no doubt in my mind that Trump's lying through his teeth as per usual. But Trump did blame Tim Walz for the cyber attacks. Now, I don't know what logic he gave for that. To my knowledge, President Donald Trump has dismissed intelligence pointing to Iran for a recent cyber attack on Minnesota's water systems, instead blaming Minnesota and its Democratic Governor Tim Walz. So, I guess Iran has hacked into the water source, I guess the like, probably, like, decontamination cleaning system, and, done something to that. And Trump said, no, it's not that. It was Tim Walz. Tim Walz is just incompetent. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I think I said it last week also, and if I didn't say it last week, it was certainly pretty close to last week. But, you know, I don't know how you can believe anything Donald Trump says without being blind. Like, I don't know. It really seems to me that a lot of the stuff that Donald Trump wants you to believe, you have to just, like, disbelieve your eyes and ears. Like, you're lying to yourself, Donald Trump's telling you the truth. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm the crazy one, it seems like Donald Trump just like wants you to believe some straight up nonsense. And it's crazy, because people do. Like, there's a good portion of people who believe the nonsense that Donald Trump spews. But, you know, I don't know what you do about that. But nonetheless, I guess it'll be, interesting. So, you know, I guess, we will see where we're at after the midterms. I'm excited for midterms. I hope that, that there's no foul play as far as Trump goes and saying that the elections were fake. So there's that. But with that being said, we are at 45 seconds. So I appreciate everybody for listening. I hope you all have a wonderful night. You can listen live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at www.wwgh1071.com. At the bottom of the page, there's a Listen Live button. You can also listen on TuneIn, the free TuneIn app. You can just download it on any mobile device and search WGH Talk. You don't even need to make an account. There are ads, though, so I recommend using the website. Our website does not have ads other than, you know, our top of the hour, you know, bits for, like, Golden Voice and all of that. So, I appreciate everybody for listening. Have a wonderful night. Have a good night, and thanks.
You're listening to The Talking Place, the legendary star.